listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruryak. Before the big wildfires erupted, mosquito spraying to prevent the spread of West Nile virus had been initiated in some parts of Sacramento and the surrounding Northern California area. We wanted to learn more about the West Nile virus activity that had prompted this. And now with the fires, I'm probably not alone in wondering whether the smoke is reducing some of the mosquito risk. So we have on the phone with us Dr. Vicki Kramer. She is chief of the vector-borne disease section for the California Department of Public Health. Dr. Kramer, thanks for joining us today on Insight.
You're welcome. Good morning.
So what had been happening with West Nile virus statewide that triggered the spraying program in at least some of these parts of the state?
Statewide West Nile virus activity is about average, with 12 human cases reported to date, similar to last year. But unlike previous years, where a lot of our activity is focused in Southern California and the southern part of the Central Valley, this year we're seeing very high activity in Sacramento and adjacent counties such as San Joaquin and Placer. And that information is based on extensive surveillance conducted by the local vector control agency. They trap mosquitoes and test the mosquitoes for virus. They also collect dead birds and test those for virus. So based on that environmental surveillance, they determined that West Nile virus activity in the area was extremely high, thus elevating the risk of transmission to people.
There were reports, and then the Sacramento Yolo Mosquito and Vector Control District confirmed that there had been a disruption in water flow from an area of the city known as the Pocket Area. So this involved the Pocket Canal, and it caused water to back up and sit, and stagnant water, as most of us know, becomes a place where mosquitoes can breed. Can you speak to that being part of the problem or part of the intense activity in this area?
It's hard to pinpoint one particular situation as the reason for elevated activity because there are so many different factors that influence West Nile activity. Remember that this virus, unlike other mosquito-borne diseases, is maintained in nature in a bird-mosquito-bird cycle, and humans are actually an accidental host. The types of mosquitoes that carry West Nile prefer to bite people. The two primary species that carry West Nile virus do breed in a variety of sources, including underground. So one popular place for them to lay their eggs is in our underground stormwater systems. So if there is an increase in the amount of standing water underground, that could certainly contribute to increased mosquito numbers. But most likely, the elevated activity is not attributed just to that one particular situation.
To review some of what you just covered, West Nile virus is transmitted by the bite of a mosquito that's been infected, and humans can become infected. Did you say the mosquitoes prefer to bite humans?
No, they prefer actually to bite birds, and humans are what we call an accidental host. So the mosquitoes have to get blood for the eggs to develop, and they're more attracted to birds, but they will bite people as well. And of course, the virus can make some people extremely ill, and West Nile virus can be fatal. In fact, since 2003, when this virus was first introduced into California, there have been over 6,500 human cases, and almost 300 people, unfortunately, have died from West Nile virus. So it's not something to be taken lightly, although most people, even if they're bitten by an infected mosquito, about 80% of people are asymptomatic. They'll have no symptoms at all. So it's just a small proportion of the population that develops severe symptoms from West Nile virus.
We are often asked about pets, about dogs, cats, even horses. So would you talk for a moment about animals that are susceptible?
Absolutely. So these mosquitoes will bite pets and they will bite horses. Fortunately, dogs and cats are unlikely to develop symptoms. However, horses will become extremely ill and can die from West Nile virus. And that's why there is a vaccine available for horses to prevent them from getting sick. So we certainly recommend that all horse owners get their horses vaccinated against West Nile virus.
The virus seems to have a season. Does it exactly parallel mosquito season?
It does not exactly parallel mosquito season. Keep in mind that we have over 50 species of mosquitoes in California, and there's really only two species that are important in Northern California as regards West Nile virus, mosquitoes that are able to transmit the virus on to people and animals. So we do find mosquitoes throughout the year and in some habitats. If you're in an oak woodland, for instance, it may be the tree hole mosquito, which isn't important for this virus. But even when we have these two mosquito species present, it takes a little while for virus activity to build up in nature, again, in this bird-mosquito-bird cycle. So through the spring, risk is relatively low. It starts to pick up in June, even though we may have a lot of mosquitoes in June. And then by the end of July and into August and September is when the risk of transmission to people is greatest. So we see our peak in terms of case numbers typically around the end of August and into September. So now is a time when people should definitely be taking steps to reduce the risk of getting bitten by mosquitoes.
Well, that's a nice segue just to remind everybody about the best prevention. Besides mosquito spray and the times of day that we're outside and dealing with standing water, what other advice do you give?
Well, certainly I think most important is wearing insect repellent. And keep in mind that not all repellents work equally well. Particularly some of our botanicals, and if you go into stores this time of year, you'll see wristbands and other devices. Those don't work very well, and the so-called all-natural botanicals typically don't work really well, with the exception of oil of lemon eucalyptus. So that active ingredient, along with DEET, which is the gold standard, and IR3535 and Picaridin, those are all EPA-approved repellents that have been tested really well. So people need to scan the active ingredient before they buy a repellent. And typically, you don't need something that has greater than 30% active ingredient, at least for DEET. And these products are safe to use on children, so certainly want to urge parents to put repellent on their children according to label instructions. So in addition to repellents, if it's not too hot out, long sleeve shirt is certainly helpful. Fixing screens on one's home so mosquitoes can't get inside is a great idea. And then, as you mentioned, dump out that standing water around your property so you're not contributing to mosquito production in your neighborhood.
And just a few words about symptoms, about West Nile virus infection symptoms, if you would, Dr. Kramer.
Absolutely. So as I mentioned, fortunately, most people infected with West Nile virus have no symptoms. That's about 80% of individuals. About 20% develop mild to moderate symptoms, such as fever, headache, and nausea. And most folks in this category do recover completely, but they may be tired and feel sick for weeks. Unfortunately, less than 1% the virus will progress and cause neurologic symptoms such as meningitis and encephalitis. So the brain and nervous system is affected. You can have vision loss, numbness, paralysis, and as mentioned, the virus can be fatal. Last year, we had 44 individuals statewide die from West Nile virus infection.
You're listening to Dr. Vicki Kramer. She is chief of the vector-borne disease section for the California Department of Public Health, vector being the word for a carrier of West Nile virus. Let's talk about the spraying, Dr. Kramer. It happened over a two-day period earlier this month over part of, in the Sacramento region, Elk Grove, the Pocket neighborhood south of Fruit Ridge Road. officials say a product called Trumpet EC was being used. Is this a new insecticide?
This is not a new insecticide. It's been used for mosquito control for decades. It belongs to the class of pesticides called the organophosphates and has been shown to be effective in controlling mosquitoes. These products, including Trumpet, are applied at very low amounts. So less than 1 ounce per acre is applied via aircraft in very, very small droplets. So when a droplet comes in contact with mosquitoes, the mosquito will die. It tends not to be in the air for very long. It settles out on vegetation and dissipates very quickly in the environment. So if they're spraying in the evening, by morning time, particularly once the sun comes up, most of that product will be gone. It poses very little risk to people because of the very small amounts that it's used.
Did you get any reports of any reactions to the spraying that happened this month?
No, we have not received any reports, and historically we have not received reports of adverse effects to people when the Sacramento Yellow Mosquito and Vector Control District has previously conducted aerial spraying. They don't do that every year. It's triggered really by high West Nile virus activity.
I remember from years back being told to turn over my outdoor pet's water bowls or take some precautions like that. I don't remember hearing that this time. Has something changed?
The products used previously, I believe, were different than this year, but regardless, those steps aren't required, and I think in the early days of application, there were probably some overly cautious messages that were provided to residents. So dumping out pet water bowls, covering plants, et cetera, is not indicated.
And now we've had these massive wildfires, and our air has been thick with smoke. There is some wind. I had thought that there was a repeat mosquito spraying in place. I haven't heard anything about it here in this area. But will you talk to me about the smoke and mosquitoes and whether there's been any reduction in risk because of what's happening in our air?
Typically, smoke from wildfires will not affect mosquito population numbers. So far, we haven't seen any decreases related to the fires. Certainly, in some areas that are directly affected by fires, there can be changes to habitat and the amount of standing water, either increasing or decreasing or increase in poor water quality. But here in the Sacramento area, it's unlikely to be a factor. And it's my understanding in terms of whether there will be a repeat spraying or not, that will be based on information that's being gathered by our local vector control agency to determine if mosquito numbers have dropped sufficiently and the number of infected mosquitoes has dropped off sufficiently, which is, of course, the goal. And past studies have indicated that the aerial spraying has subsequently reduced the risk of human illness in the spray zones.
Is there any preliminary information at this point about mosquito activity or West Nile virus infection in particular in mosquitoes?
The district has not formally reported on their findings post-spray, so hopefully that they will be communicating that soon. We are getting reports of increased mosquito activity in some of our neighboring counties that I think is being watched very closely, in particular in Placer and San Joaquin counties, where the number of infected mosquitoes is fairly high as well. So we're seeing more activity in the Sacramento Valley region relative to Southern California this year, because West Nile does cycle from year to year and geographically in California. So we have to monitor it very closely by testing mosquitoes. And of course, the public can help us monitor West Nile virus activity by reporting dead birds to our hotline or via our website, which is westnile.ca.gov.
All right, Dr. Kramer, thank you for the information. We'll post a link to the website. And again, we've been talking about the spraying and the activity in the Sacramento area, but it goes without saying that this is happening as well in other parts of the state right now, correct?
Yes, correct. We have had human cases all the way from Riverside in the south to Butte County in the north, and detected actually West Nile from San Diego to Humboldt and Shasta. So West Nile is endemic in California. It's here to stay, and people should take steps to protect themselves during the summer months, particularly July through September.
Again, thank you, Dr. Kramer.
Thank you.
That is Dr. Vicki Kramer. She is chief of the Vector-Borne Disease Section for the California Department of Public Health. And this is Insight on Capital Public Radio.